May the Lord help us to commence our weeknight service by singing hymn number 27, Tertune Trentham 73. Hymn number 27, I'll read the first two verses and we'll commence at verse 3. Come, Holy Spirit, come, let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. Cheer our desponding hearts, thou heavenly Paraclete. Give us to lie with humble hope at our Redeemer's feet. Hymn number 27 to Tune Trentham 73, commencing at verse 3.
Yeah. Let us read together for our instruction from God's holy word three psalms. The first psalm is Psalm 90, 9-0. The 90th psalm. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We will turn now to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Finally, read in Psalm 130, the 130th Psalm. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, we come to worship thee, the true and the living God, creator of heaven and earth. And thou, in the person of the Son, didst condescend to dwell amongst men for that time in which the work was to be performed of salvation. And Lord, we would therefore seek to adore the incarnate God, God manifest in the flesh, the babe who was seen at Bethlehem and worshipped by the shepherds and those wise men that came from the east. And he then, that growing up, declared the work that he had to do and confessed, professed his Father who was in heaven, and to teach the people of their need. Lord, it was those things that were done for the poor and needy that brought hope and consolation. And now, Lord, it is the same hope, the same consolation that we have as we come unto thee, knowing that the word of life can be power to our souls, to lift up the downcast, and to bring her comfort to those in sadness, those that sorrow, and to bring that instruction, to give wisdom to those that feel to lack it. and that thou grant unto those who are weary strength for the day, not just physically weary, but weary in mind and soul. Lord, one has expressed it, weary of earth, myself, and sin. Dear Jesus, set me free. Oh, to be freed from that which is as a bondage to us, and we're under it until we know, feel the sweetness and power of that precious blood that was shed to make an atonement for the all that may indeed believe. Help us to believe, we pray, lest, O Lord, we should be deceived. But grant, Lord, that we might prove that thou art faithful, and dost give us those glimpses of thy rich mercy, which thou dost pour down upon the ones that cry and sigh and have to come as penitents at the footstool of mercy, and to obtain favour and blessing, pardon, to receive the gracious Spirit to uphold us and to keep us. Dear Lord, we have those things often to contend with. The adversary of our soul, Satan himself, and also our own deceitful heart, and the world that lieth in wickedness. Lord, we need therefore that grace to live as thou wouldst have us to do, as lights in a dark place, that we may be seen as those that seek after thee, that would desire to be found amongst thy people. O Lord, we do pray that we may therefore be seen as those that are blessed and are favoured with the patience, with the grace, with the love, with the kindness, with a goodness that should be displayed in any of thy people. But Lord, we know that we cannot of ourselves find these things perfect, indeed far from it. And yet by the Spirit of grace, there may be perfected in us even that mind as it was in our Lord and Saviour. Lord, we would desire therefore to heed the words, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and yet made himself of no reputation, and suffered those things that he might redeem us from our lost condition. And now, Lord, we would pray thy blessing to be upon this people. Thou knowest their needs, each individually and collectively. We would bear before thee thy dear servant at the desk in his particular infirmity, and do, Lord, grant that he might be given that willingness to bow to this dispensation of pain and of a lessening of mobility. Lord, thou knowest all his needs, and we do pray that there will strengthen him, particularly when he sets to preach the word, to wherever that may be. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant his dear one that help also, anxiety of those matters that concern them both, and so we would remember them. We would, Lord, remember others too, those with their families, though they may not have a family here, yet leaving them behind with the other parent. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy rich blessing upon them. And may thy their children be brought to recognize the blessing of being brought up in a Christian home. We would desire, Lord, also that thou wilt be with those that are not with us. A dear aged friend in her infirmity, we would remember her, and that thou wilt indeed help her, as we believe thou hast in varying ways. And also the younger ones away from home, Lord, we would seek thy watchful care over them and keep them from the many snares of life. Help them to live in a way that will be as an example unto others, and yet not a seeking to proudly set themselves up, but rather to humbly walk the way that they know to be right. Lord, we are thankful that thou hast made opportunities for those who are venturing into the life of a further education, and also then to have the ways opened up that the world of opportunity that may be afforded them. We would, Lord, desire thy blessing upon thy people wherever they are found. We would remember, Lord, those that are in sickness, and pray for their recovery, though they may not be gathered here, but in other places. We would remember, O Lord, thy servants that are also affected with a sickness in one way or another. We would remember, O Lord, those in bereavement, and pray that they might be comforted at this time. We would remember, O Lord, those that are in distress, whatever their distress may be. But Lord, do make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain for them. And so, Lord, we would remember all thy people scattered abroad the earth, those that may suffer persecution at the hands of others. Lord, do in mercy help them to stand, to be steadfast in the faith, and to hold on to the fact that their Lord and Saviour suffered, and so may they suffer even for his name's sake. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt look upon thy people who are in isolated places. And Lord, thou knowest the places that are isolated as far as thy people are concerned. They may dwell in a city, as Lot dwelt in a city, but he found there was none with whom he could unite, and therefore was watchful at the gate to see whether any that came and passed and came into the city may then be entertained. And so he entertained angels unawares. We do not in this day expect to entertain angels, but nonetheless there may be those who fear the Lord, and to find but with our hearts rejoicing, such that we can unite with. We live, Lord, in a day where many have turned away from the things of God, and a day where men desire but their own things, and have no time for the one who is over all, a sovereign indeed of heaven and earth, and yet men will not regard it. Oh, do therefore, Lord, appear in this our solemn day. We know that judgments are deserved, and if thou shouldest cause the consequences of our sins and foolishness, it will be no less than what we do deserve. O Lord, that men may recognize it. But O Lord, spare if it could please thee. Thou didst spare Nineveh when they humbled themselves before thee under the preaching of Jonah. And Lord, may it be that thou dost send out those faithful ones who are placed in the positions to declare what thou art. We're thankful that there are some that do, and those that seek to encourage the Christian values amongst men, and also the influence in our parliament. Lord, do appear now, we pray, and have mercy upon our leaders. Give wisdom, and also our king, have mercy upon him, his consort, and also all of the royal family. And now do pardon us of every sin, all that we've uttered amiss, forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
May the Lord help us in further singing hymn number 961. 13 Ernan, 331. Hymn number 961. Be still, my heart. These anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord, and contradict his gracious word. Brought safely by his hand thus far, why dost thou now give place to fear? How canst thou want if he provide, or lose thy way with such a guide? Hymn number 961, 13 Ernan, 331.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct your attention to Psalm 130. Psalm 130, and read in verses 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Psalm 130, and verses 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Doubtless the psalmist knew what it was to have the Lord mark his iniquities. For the Lord does mark iniquities. And we have those examples in Scripture where they did not escape from their sin, the punishment of it. David himself, when he committed adultery, so he knew that he had sinned against God. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. The Lord marked it, and the trial that he was to have through Bathsheba was to die. But nonetheless, the Lord did not deal with him as his sins deserved. Indeed, David also proved forgiveness. And what was it then to be granted to him but another son, Solomon, who would sit upon the throne after David had died? And so the Lord, he may mark the sins of his people, but it is a great mercy that he doesn't leave us in them. Though we deserve to be left in our sins and to be dealt with in the way that Moses spoke of in that psalm of being consumed by the Lord's wrath or anger. We must ever remember that God is a holy God. He cannot look upon sin. He cannot condone the least sin, the smallest sin. And there is one thing which is also plain from the Word of God, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that there is none that can be said to be righteous, not in themselves, for we have no righteousness of our own. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God by nature. What brings us to seek after God? It is when the Lord shows us what our great need is. And we only know that great need if we are brought to recognize our lost condition, that we only deserve to be cast out of God's sight as Adam and Eve were cast from the garden. But the Lord again, though their iniquity was marked in one sense, yet could Adam and Eve stood, could they have continued, not without that maintaining goodness of God and the promise that was given concerning the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And the seed is Christ, who came that he might overcome the power of Satan, deal with the sin in his people, and to bring them to know the cost of their iniquities, and how it can and is to be paid. What a blessing it is when we are brought to know that there is a way of deliverance. But if the Lord should so mark our iniquities as he did with Cain, and Cain, he slew his brother, and the Lord marked him, and so none were to go near unto Cain, and he said it's more than he could bear. And indeed, if the Lord should so mark our iniquities, then it would be more than we could bear. But our God is a God of mercy, a God who will show unto those that are poor and needy and brought to feel themselves as such, to give relief and to bring consolation to them, and to give them to know that the Lord will not deal with them as they deserve. So if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? And this is also found in real experience. Who shall stand? It brings us sometimes to a question, how we do stand. Do we stand as condemned? Perhaps in that work of the Spirit who first convinces of sin, and there in that conviction you stand condemned by a holy law. And the Lord is spiritual and good, and yet it condemns the sinner. And so the punishment must be meted out according to the law that God has given. For when we sin, we break the law. It is a broken law. And can we stand? Those Israelites that compelled Aaron to make them a god, a golden calf, and then they blasphemously said, "These be the gods that brought us up out of Egypt." They knew that it was very different, and yet such was their unbelief. Such was their enmity against God for bringing them into this wilderness, which seemed to them to be a deserted place. Could there be any comfort here? They did not have their eye upon what God had promised, what he would provide, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was indeed but a small thing to endure for a little while in the wilderness, to obtain the blessings of that Canaan. And if there were blessings in the natural Canaan, then what of the spiritual Canaan? Heaven? Do we have that single eye of faith to fix upon the hopes that are afforded us through the word that speaks concerning the prospect of the believer? Oh, what it is to be brought to believe. And yet we find in ourselves the power of unbelief. It is a struggle. It is a warfare. It is, as the Apostle says, that the good that he would, he did not, the evil that he would not, that he did, and how to perform that which he would, he found not in himself, but he did find that through the gracious spirit of strength that God gave him, then he could do all things. He could do all things through Christ, who strengthened him, through the one who conveyed himself as the power to deliver and to relieve us of the sin that so weighed us down, that those sins might be lifted up, lifted from us, and to be laid legally upon the person of the Son of God, who knew no sin, who could not sin, who would not sin, because he was sent of his Father, and he loved his Father, loved him that he could not contemplate doing anything but what his Father commanded him to do. And though the command was, when the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world, was the cross, suffering, death on account of his people, that they might be redeemed with a redemption that would pay the great debt of human sin. Those that were thus brought to know that they came under the condemnation. But it is only by the teaching of the Spirit that we really know what sin is, the heinousness of it. We cannot speak of any sin as being but a little thing, as being something of no consequence. But he that is guilty in one point, one small sin, is guilty of all. You may say, well, why is that? How can that be? Because every sin is a sin against God. That is why it is. And one sin against God, surely, is to be as heinous and solemn as another sin, though we may perhaps think that it's not as gross and as awful and evil, yet it's against God. Now, it may be said that there are sins which are greater than others, and the sin against a brother in that he might covet what he possesses, then that of itself is a sin. But if he should rob his brother because of his covetousness, then he adds to that sin, and so he now becomes a robber. And if he cannot obtain what he wants by endeavouring to rob him, perhaps because his brother, or whoever it may be, does prevent by putting up the defences or ensuring the safety of his goods, and therefore he cannot obtain them. So what is then the next step? Well, we know that Ahab King Ahab in the Old Testament, he desired Naboth's vineyard. And when Naboth refused to give it and would not permit the king to have one part of it, then in his sorrow, Ahab is a sinful grave, told his wife Jezebel, and she then would cause those to find fault, sent of her to find fault of Naboth, so that he could then be slain. And so Naboth was killed, so that the vineyard may then become King Ahab's. Well, that is then the next sin. See then how sins may multiply, so to speak, and then we may consider them according to their heinousness. The sin of thought is the sin of thought, but when we put it into action, then that sin becomes greater until we add to it. And oh, how dreadful in adding to our sin, we add more and more and sink into the wretchedness of some who may fall into despair. But we have here the word of consolation which the psalmist also experienced. However great he may have felt his sins were, and in the depths that he sunk into, oh then he doubtless felt the darkness, the sense of death, as it says in the Hebrews, they were all subject to bondage, and the bondage of death. So they were faced with that. A man may perhaps be held in custody for his sins, but when he is then put the sentences against him and put into prison, then there he will remain for a number of years. He may never be let out. But in the days past, it wasn't just that they were put into prison, but they could expect the death penalty. And if they had the death penalty, then what misery faced them. Their life cut off because of sin, because of doing some crime. Do we think when we try to do something which is contrary to the word of God, what its consequences could be? If there should this mark iniquities, notice it is in the plural. If there should this mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? The experience of the psalmist, though, was to experience this but. You know, the small words or the little words, when they are recorded or put into the scripture, they are there often to give a big meaning. And a but brings here a great meaning. What is the but here? Well, it is that which is set over against what has already been mentioned. If we should just for a moment consider it the other way round, and the law of God will speak concerning the blessings and the curses. Well, if there is a blessing bestowed upon us, and then through our foolishness we ignore it or turn from it or cast the blessing away, then there is a but, which then reflects upon our own carnality and wickedness in sinning against God and the consequences of it. But when we have come as poor sinners and are brought to realize what wretches we have been before this God, who though he appears in all his purity and holiness, yet has set before us hope, hope in the mercy of God. And it was mercy that Moses could speak of and pleaded for in that 90th Psalm. So he says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Thy servants, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may be glad, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So here, the but sets before us a prospect, a hope. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. That our sins should be forgiven. How then can that be? How can our sins be forgiven? Will they be forgiven because we, as the saying is, turn over a new leaf and then try to do better? Suppose we do gain improvement in our behaviour and in our walk. What are the sins that we've already committed? Will those good things then make amends? Past offences, they shall ever pain our eyes unless there is some means whereby they can be blotted out. But God is able to blot out those transgressions. And how is it? Well, how shall we be forgiven? It will require that a perfect promise that we shall never be found in guiltiness. And yet we stand guilty already. So being as guilty, we need another who can stand and be guiltless on our account. And our Lord and Saviour, whom the Father sent, he who knew no sin, Yet, as he assumed our nature and a body that was prepared for him, so he could bear those sins, they being imputed to him, that is, were made as though they were his, although they were not his sins, but he would bear the punishment of those sins, and therefore die, which was the punishment of sin. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, was spoken to our first parents, Adam and Eve. And then we read in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so it is that death will pass upon all, and in some stage of their existence, death will indeed come. But there are two aspects to death. There is the death of the body. And Adam and Eve did not know that death immediately. But there was also the spiritual death, and that was to be cast out from God's sight. And for a moment they were cast from the garden, but for the promise they would have been condemned forever. But there is forgiveness with thee. Now we know that those that came forth from our first parents, that first there was Abel, who came with an offering. He realized that he needed an offering that would be as a substitute and to be offered up on account of his sin. And he had faith to see that it required the one who could offer himself and shed the price which was the precious blood. The precious blood that indeed could redeem a sinner from his sins. Now the blood of Christ, it is indeed precious because he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when he would bear the sins, so he also made what is called an atonement or reconciliation, that we should be reconciled again to God, that God should no longer evidence his anger, but rather his anger should be turned to a smile, that his anger would be subdued because of eternal love that was there found in his very being. God is love, and having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. And he loves those, therefore, though they have been left to fall into the grossest of sins, yet he has loved them, and because he has loved them, so then he will redeem them. Oh, what redemption, that we should be like as Hannah spoke in her prayer, beggars of the dunghill, the beggars that were there in their filthy, wretched state, He could not approach, could not be accepted because of their filthiness and wretchedness. But he who raises up the beggar from the dunghill, that he should no longer be a beggar, because now he can plead the merits of his Lord and Saviour. And now he can find a rest in the one who had so gone to the end of the law for righteousness. And that now the sinner, found in his filthiness, may be washed, seen in his nakedness, may be clothed, seen in his helplessness, may be lifted up and strengthened, seen in his hopelessness, yet now he knows the power of mercy that will lift him up, as is set before us in the parable of the man who went down to Jericho from Jerusalem, fell among the thieves and was there, left naked and half dead, almost as though a few more breaths and would he then expire? But a certain Samaritan came where he was, and having poured in the oil and the wine, that which may soothe and that which may cleanse. The cleansing may bring a smart as the knowledge of the foolishness of such a venture was brought home to the poor wretched man who had left the place where which was appointed of God for worship, to go down to the cursed city Jericho. You may say, are you not reading more into it than is there? Well, it was a fact nonetheless to leave the place where there was safety and security, to go down to the place that had been cursed in many ages before. But then he knew what the outcome was before he even got to his destination. But now there was one who came and lifted him up and put him upon his beast and took him to an inn. Now, think of it, dear friend. When the Lord lifts up his people from their prostrated condition, having now felt a little benefit from the oil and the wine, or from that which the Lord may use to remove the filth and also to heal the wounds that sin has made, and to take and find to set before you a place, a resting place, as we've already spoken, a refuge, a place where we may then be in safety, and not to be exposed to those that would molest and trouble us. We find then sins forgiven must bring us into a comfortable condition, a sweet resting place. And now, to be clothed and to be blessed with that provision of a resting place for your never-dying soul. then your sins are blotted out as a thick cloud. A thick cloud that is suddenly dispersed. And when I look to see my sins could ne'er be found. But there is forgiveness with thee. It must have been a wonderful thing for those that came to our Lord and found that he graciously healed them. And having so done, whether it was a healing within or a healing without, or outside of themselves, whether it was that their leg may be healed and they could walk, or whether it was that there should be a running issue like with the woman who came to him, and there she knew that running issue was healed, and she tried to hide herself, but the Lord would not let her hide herself. She had to come and declare what the Lord had done in healing her in her condition. Well, what a wonderful blessing that was. But what I'm coming to is this. There were some of those that came to him. He then said these words, go in peace, sin no more. How is it that we shall sin no more? It is one of the fruits that comes from the mercy and love of God, and is known through this evidence of pardoning love. Let me just explain what I mean. You see, how can we cease from sin? Not in ourselves. We still bear an old nature that is ever sinful. And it loves sin. And would continue in it. But now, he that has pardoned us has given us of his own righteousness, given us a nature, a new nature, which cannot sin. This is, as John sets it before us in his epistles, and though these epistles of John, they may seem to set a very high standard, and yet, when you consider it, the whole epistle will suit a poor, needy soul. And you know that he was manifested, that is Christ, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, born again of the Spirit, as Nicodemus proved and realized that he needed to be born again, the master of Israel, seemingly upright, no doubt, the teacher, yet here was one thing that he needed to know which he was ignorant of. Ye must be born again. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That is what makes a mourner in Zion, as described, spoken of in the scripture. A mourner is one who mourns and cries over the fact of what has happened and taken place. Often it is with regard to a loss of a loved one, and we mourn. Well, we mourn not because we have known the death of sin, but because in our old self we still are subject to that state. That state of dying, as though it is a prolonged agony. And when the old man struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace, and so the old nature seems to gain the field. But when Jesus hides his face, but when he then reveals himself and speaks unto us as unto children, as unto those who he knows our weaknesses, he knows our frame, he remembereth that we are but dust in ourselves, therefore he gives us the strength to look upon him and to wait for him. We find that the psalmist, if I may just proceed to the next verse, begins it with these words, I wait for the Lord. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared, that is, with filial fear, with holy reverence, with righteous esteem, seeking that the Lord will work his work. And yet here we are. We have to wait for it. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. But now what a contrast. A contrast from this which will cause us to tremble indeed. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? But having known that we stand justified through the merits of our Lord and Saviour, renewed by the gracious Spirit, or quickened by the gracious Spirit unto a life that seeks unto God, and though we may have to mourn because of our old nature that still persists in those things that grieve the spirit of promise, that grieve our own soul, which we have now rejoiced in the freedom which has come through the love of Christ. And yet now we have to learn the work of patience, and we wait for those times when he will graciously come, revive and strengthen and comfort. And it is the Spirit that he has given. He spoke to those disciples that he would go away, but I send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit himself, the one that indwells the child of God. And when the word comes with sweetness and applied by the Spirit to our hearts, our renewed hearts, a new heart will I give you, and a nail to our spirit which is right before God, then we have to rejoice in the mercy of God, that He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor has He dealt with us according to our iniquities, but rather has evidenced that great mercy. So we conclude with those words from the 103rd Psalm. Let us read them in their context. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the places thereof shall know it no more. But, there's another but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. This covenant of the Lord, which he makes with his people, I say with his people, perhaps I should amend that to say that the one who is ordained to be the very head of his own people, of the church, Christ himself, it's a covenant that is made, as the hymn puts it, with David's Lord, in all things ordered well. Though it's a covenant for those of David's offspring, yet it is a covenant that is made with David's God. And so what is the covenant terms that we have set before us again in another psalm? Psalm 110. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. So Christ is set here before us. The Lord has spoken, and will not repent. Thou art, that is not change. Thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. Amen.
May the Lord help us to conclude by singing hymn number 350 to the tune Pilgrim 819. Hymn number 350. Ye pilgrims of Zion, and chosen of God, whose spirits are filled with dismay, since ye have eternal redemption through blood, ye cannot but hold on your way, as Jesus in covenant head did engage, a fullness of grace to display. The powers of darkness in malice may rage, the righteous shall hold on his way. Hymn number 350 to the tune Pilgrim, 819.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each evermore. Amen.